Welcome back to Literally Can't Even.
Yes, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Sorry.
Pretty much because we changed books quite a few times.
Yep. So, I mean, we probably in the future need to just stick with a book.
Yeah.
When we pick it, because we were going to do, what was it, A Lesson in Vengeance? And I read it first.
Well, before that, we were going to do All's Well.
Oh, you're right.
So we changed it like twice before we decided to do one that we never even talked about on the podcast.
Right. So you read All's Well.
Yes.
And you weren't a fan.
I enjoyed it. It's just I really didn't think we could have a conversation about it because it mostly just confused me and not much happened in it. So
sure.
I don't know. I felt very mild about it.
And then we decided on A Lesson in Vengeance, which then I read and was disappointed by. And so we decided instead to do Night Bitch, which is what we're talking about today. And it took me forever to read.
Yeah, I finished it, I think, like a week and a half ago, maybe, maybe 2 weeks ago. But I was telling Lily before we got on this that, I kind of forget everything that happened in it, but also not much happens in it, so.
Yeah, I agree. So, let me see. So, Night Bitch is by Rachel Yoder, I think?
Yeah, I think that's how you say her last name.
Yeah.
So, should we read, like, the summary on the flap?
We should. I totally left it in the other room, though.
Okay. So I guess it's my turn to read for the class. Oh, God. Okay. Get ready to hear me trip over every other word. Okay. In this blazing smart and ferocious debut, an artist turned stay-at-home mom becomes convinced she's turning into a dog. Oh, I need to tell you about a movie that kind of has the same exact premise, but I'll tell you after I'm done.
Okay.
Okay, so an ambitious mother puts her career on hold to stay at home with her newborn son, but the experience does not match her imagination. 2 years later, she steps into the bathroom for a break from her toddler's demands, only to discover a dense patch of hair on the back of her neck. As she studies herself in the mirror, her canines suddenly look sharper than she remembers. Her husband, who travels for work 5 days a week, casually dismisses her fears from faraway hotel rooms. As the mother's symptoms intensify and her temptation to give in to her new dog impulses peak, she struggles to keep her alter canine identity a secret. Seeking a cure at the library, she discovers the mysterious academic tome, which becomes her Bible, a field guide to magical women, a mythical... Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to skip over this word. And meets a group of mommies who are involved in a multi-level marketing scheme and may also be more than what they seem.
That was there beautiful.
Yes, thank you. I only tripped over one word, I think. But literally, there's a movie. I think it's called Wolf. But it has this exact same premise, except it's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I literally, like, the trailer dropped, like... I think a week ago, and I was like, wait, I just read that book.
Oh, that's funny. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
So, do you have a rating for this?
So, I was going back and forth because I really enjoyed this book. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I almost changed the rating because I gave Sorrowland 4.5, and I don't want everybody to think I always give books 4.5, but I think I would give this 4.5.
So, I don't know that I would say that I enjoyed this book. I feel like I didn't get it. Like, I feel like it wasn't for me, you know, like not, it's not for me, but like it was not written for me. Like it was written for a different kind of person, I guess. So I feel bad, but it just like, I was just not a fan. So I'm going to say 3 out of 5. And we'll talk about why a little bit. Like you said, there's not really a lot that happens. Like, yes, she thinks she's turning into a dog, but there's not really a plot. Like, you're just kind of, like, hanging out with her as she stresses out about her toddler and also maybe being a dog.
Yeah. There's, you know, I was reading some reviews on Goodreads about what other people thought, and somebody said it reminded them of The Metamorphosis a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know if you ever read that. It's about a guy who wakes up one day and he's like a cockroach. But, like, I read it for my English class a while ago, so I cannot make that, I don't know, that correlation between the two, because I honestly forget what happens in The Metamorphosis. But I know, like, a big theme is just, like, you know, transformation and finding something, like, in your life when your life is, like, kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, finding something to focus on in your life. And I feel like we see that in two different ways in this book, like, from Night Bitch's point of view mm-hmm. and from also Jen's point of view.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so I will say something that kind of, like, I get that it was a thing, like, she was doing a thing, but it kind of bothered me that we didn't know the mother's name. We just refer to her as the mother, or then later on, we refer to her as Night Bitch. But, like, when it was just the mother, it was confusing, because then sometimes she talks about her own mother, and that's confusing. And, like, you don't know the toddler's name, so he's just the boy, or the child, or the baby, and the husband, or the father. You don't know his name either. And, like, I get that that was intentional, and that was, like, a device, but it was a little bit confusing, because a large part of the book is just her and the toddler, and she's just, like, thinking in her head and thinking about...
It's very much just in her head, yeah.
Exactly, like, other people's experience and other, you know, mothers that she knows. And, like, there's one point where she goes to, like, her first, like, night on the town in forever, and she's with some other, like, friends that also have kids. So it's, like, the mother, the working mother, and the mother who, like, makes movies. Like, so I don't know, something else. Like, you don't know any of their names, and it's, like, really confusing.
Yeah, see, the author definitely made some choices that I still don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that name stuff. And then the dialogue in this book is not in quotations whatsoever.
Right.
But, you know, from the first page, I was like, oh, God, that's going to bother me. But then I realized there's, like, barely any dialogue in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it didn't bother me as much. But I still don't understand why she didn't name them. Like, unless she was going for something that was, like, I want to write a book where the reader can easily place themselves in, you know, the first person's point of view.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, how many people think they're transforming into a dog?
Right.
You know?
Right. I do think it was very much kind of written, like, for mothers and young women to connect with. It would, like... So much of it was, like, about how you lose yourself when you become a mother. Like, you have all these dreams and, you know, a career and all these things that you want to do. And then you can either spread yourself too thin and try to have it all and ultimately not have anything. Or you can stay at home with your child and, like, be nothing but a caregiver.
Yeah.
Which is not something that I have experience with. I'm guessing it's not something you have experience with. So, like, I get, like, I could understand, because it's definitely something that I've heard people talk about, but it's not something that I could relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that, because, like, the whole thing with Night Bitch is... You know, trying to figure out the themes with her motherly life is hard. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I like that the author involves Jen and, like, other Jen and other Jen. All the Jens.
Oh, yeah, that was confusing, too. Oh,
but I like that the author included that, because mm-hmm. it kind of just, like, made it click where, like, this is what she's going for. You know,
yeah.
Because, like, the MLM world... of single mothers or even just stay-at-home mothers is, like, very real, mm-hmm. you know? And it's kind of like, I don't know. It brings in that theme of looking for something where, like, you feel in control, I guess.
Right. And that's just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they kind of touch on also, like, when people stay at home, like, obviously you're not making money. So even if your partner makes plenty of money for both of you, it still is hard to feel like you're entitled to it, you know? Like, you feel mm-hmm. like you're not under their control, but, like, you feel like it's not yours to decide what happens with it, you know, whether or not your partner is feels that way, you know? It's just hard to, like, take ownership. So this is a way that they can, like, make their own little bit of money and, like, do their own thing a little bit, and, you know, this is just for me. Yeah, that kind of thing. It's funny because my husband and I were talking the other night about, like, MLMs, because I lived in Cheyenne, Wyoming for a little while.
Oh,
and
God.
It is rampant, like, so crazy how many just, like, make the rounds.
Oh, my God. Wait, have you seen Schitt's Creek?
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, a whole episode where, like, they start trying to sell an MLM, and then the entire town is like, we've already been here. We've already tried this.
we already sold to each other. Yeah, and they mentioned that in Night Bitch too, where she was like, there's no one to sell it to because we've all sold it to each other and sunk all this money into it, and now there's no one to sell it to because we're all doing the same thing. And that's totally how it is. Like, oh my God, the amount of parties I've been to MLM things, like, it is crazy. And I was, like, a teenager. Like, this is all things that I went with my stepmom, or, you know, like, my friend's moms, or I was.
Did your stepmom ever buy into it?
She bought into one or two, I think, but attended, I mean, just a bajillion.
Oh my God.
Just, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, we were talking about it because that LuLaRoe documentary just came out.
Yeah, I saw that, but, well, I saw the advertisement. Mm-hmm. I didn't see the movie, but I definitely want to watch it. So, like, what MLM does that even focus on?
LuLaRoe is the name of it. It's, like, clothes. Like, they sold, like, maxi skirts and leggings and, like, shirts, basically. I mean, they were really comfortable. I had a couple that were, like, either given to me or, like, my stepmom bought me one or two or whatever. Like, you know, they were, like, clothes that were nice and comfortable. But also, there was the whole, like, you have to have a party and you have to buy X amount of inventory to be in. And then you want to recruit people for your team and da-da-da-da-da. It was huge for a while.
That's crazy. And I know that one girl that writes those books, like, Girl Wash Your Hair or something.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
She's, like, huge in MLMs. I remember I watched this one thing about MLMs, and she, like, attended this giant event with just, like, all these moms and, like, was giving these inspirational speeches about this one MLM. And I was like, geez, like, I will never read your books because you're endorsing something like this, honestly.
Yeah, that's Rachel Hollis. I actually just listened to a podcast about her. But yeah, and she is like, you can have all this if you just work hard. But she's married to this, like, Disney executive guy, or now they're getting a divorce. But, like, she married a rich dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the MLM in this book happens, like, in the very beginning, the mother is just, like, at home with her toddler all day long. She's unhappy. She kind of hates her life. She feels, like, totally lost. Nothing is for herself. She's super frustrated. And her husband is, like, telling her she should have a routine, and that would make her happier if she could just, like, establish a routine and, like, you know, get out there and do things. And so at one point she goes to the library with her kid, and there's, like, a play area that he's playing in, and then there's, like, a mommy story time club happening where all of these women are. And at that point, they kind of start, like, they're talking about their little MLM, which is where they sell, like, herbs. Like, she just says they sell herbs all the time. It's, like, supplements or, like, herbal blends or something. And then she kind of runs into the mothers and, you know, goes to the library a few times and that kind of thing. And every time they mention it to her, and then maybe three quarters of the way through the book, she finally goes to a party for this.
Yeah. I don't know, like, do we want to talk spoilers now? Because I feel like it's kind of hard to talk about this book without spoilers.
Yeah, honestly. I feel like also there really, like, aren't, like, there are and there aren't spoilers.
Like, yeah, I feel like the only thing you could really, like, I feel like you could spoil two chapters in this book. And that's really about it. But, okay, spoiler alert from now on. If you do feel interested or intrigued to read this book, I would say go for it because it's, like, super short. You know, like, this book is like 230 pages.
It took me forever to read because I just wouldn't read.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is really short.
Yeah. Okay. So she goes to this party, right? Well, okay. So even before that, like, she meets these moms and, you know, she's going through this transformation of becoming a dog, you know, like, thinking she's becoming a dog. And one night she, like, well, okay, so she meets, like, three main dogs, and she smells, like, this strawberry perfume off of Jen. And then Night Bitch just goes out one night and meets these three dogs, and the golden retriever smells like strawberry perfume. And so she's like, is that you, Jen? Because now she, like, secretly thinks all stay-at-home moms are actually dogs at night.
Right.
And and so, like, all throughout this book, she's trying to figure out, you know, if these moms who are a part of this MLM, if their parties are secretly, like, dog conferences.
Right.
You know, them talking about how they transform into dogs. And so she finally gets invited to this party, and she finds out it's just herbs.
Yeah, it's just herbs. And she goes to the party, and there's, like, four moms named Jen, because there's, like, the main Jen, and then there's all these other Jens. That was another moment where I was like, really? Honestly?
Just all the Jens.
Yes. So I wanted to, so at the very beginning, maybe not the very beginning, but pretty soon into the book, you figure out where Night Bitch came from. Basically, like, they were trying to get the toddler to go to sleep. He sleeps in the parents' bed, and he was, like, up in the middle of the night, like, tossing and turning or screaming about wanting water or doing something. And apparently the mother, like, sat up and, like, demon yelled at him. And the husband was like, whoa. And then she, like, stomped off and, like, slept on the couch or something.
Yeah.
And so in the morning, they were, like, talking about it, and he, like, made a joke that, like, she was, like, Night Bitch, like, yeah. And that's, like, her thing. And so she kind of uses that as, like, she owns it, like, you know, I am Night Bitch, because at night she was getting super agitated. And then after this, she notices, like, the hair on her neck and her canines are sharper, and then she gets, like, a, she describes it as, like, a cyst on her tailbone, and then like, erupts into, like, a tuft of fur, like, basically like a tail.
Yeah, and she constantly talks about how she can feel it wagging.
Yes.
And I'm like, what does that feel like, though?
Right. I was going to say, like, I did like when she was saying, like, she wanted to just stare. She just stares at the window all night and, like, watches the cars. Or, like, when something exciting happens, she, like, wants to wag the nub.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, tells herself that she can't. And, of course, her husband doesn't believe her. Her husband travels for work, like, every week, and is just home on the weekends. And so he just, like, totally dismisses her. He's like, you should go see a doctor. Like, you're crazy. He never listens to anything she has to say, and somehow doesn't notice that she's sprouting hair. Apparently, and she won't show him the tail, so.
Right. Well, and as she, like, starts this transformation, she starts to make it into, like, a game with her toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go play dog. And so now her toddler is just, like, barking at everybody. Sleeping in a kennel.
In a kennel! Yes, because, so she's acting like a dog.
Yeah.
And so her toddler, like, wants to copy her. She buys a bunch of raw meat and, like, feeds him a little bit of raw meat. And he loves it.
They go to the park and, like, she sees a squirrel. And she's just, like, casually talking to this other mom. And it's like, hold on. And, like, calls her son over. And they both chase this squirrel.
Yes.
And then somehow the other mom is like, oh, that's nice. That's a nice relationship you have with your kid.
So funny. And she, like, first, she goes out and buys her son all, like, this kennel, dog toys, a collar, a leash. And then she's going on this, like, mommy and me hike with all of the, she calls them the book moms. And he throws a fit because she tries to not let him, like, be on a leash. And right. Eventually she's, you know, she's like, you know what, whatever. And so she's just, like, walking her 2-year-old on a leash, and he's just, like, happy as can be.
Right. It really is, like, a bizarre book, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
it really
I don't,
is bizarre.
I don't really know, like, the theme the author was going after with making the toddler act like that. I don't know.
And, like, the only way she can make him, like, not a fussy little jerk is to let him just run around like a dog. And she gets him to sleep in the kennel, like, because yeah. He will only sleep in her bed. It's, like, this big thing that he, like, getting him to go to sleep is a fight every night, like, hours and hours of reading stories, and he's asking for water, and he's crying, and he's throwing a fit, and finally he passes out in her bed. But she gets in the kennel, and he just will, like, pass out in there. So yeah. He sleeps in the kennel now.
Oh, what a weird thing.
Yeah, super weird.
Well,
yeah, and so
then,
there's this... Oh, go ahead.
So also, like, our main character is also an artist.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just about to say. So
yeah. And so she, like, kind of takes this experience and is like, you know, I could turn this into something. I could mm-hmm. turn this into art. And so that's kind of, like, the final thing you see in this is, like, a performative art piece, I guess, where she is, like, killing live rabbits on a stage in front of a crowd and getting just, like, stellar reviews from it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the main Jen of the MLM, you know, the Night Bitch talks to Jen and is like, you know, this isn't it, like... You know, you're in, like, what, PR or something?
Mm-hmm.
And so Jen starts to do the marketing for the art show. And so now, like, these two stay-at-home moms have teamed up and, are just putting on this piece where she is acting like a dog on stage, killing animals, and, I don't know, going crazy, I guess.
Yeah, going crazy. Okay, so here is where I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. So she, like, throughout most of the book, she's, like, getting hairier and hairier. Her, like, canines are super spiky. She's wagging her tail. She's acting like a dog, right?
Yeah.
And then she goes out. You mentioned she meets the other dogs. She, like, is out with her son, and these three dogs come up, and she's like, aw, dogs. And it's like a golden retriever that smells like strawberries, a basset hound, and a collie. And the basset hound and the collie are, like, playing with her son, and she's, like, snuggling with the golden retriever. And then the son falls asleep, and the basset hound and the collie are, like, watching him. And then the golden retriever is, like, trying to lead her somewhere. It's, like, holding her hand and, like, trying to take her somewhere. And she starts to go with it. And then she's like, wait, no, what am I doing? And, like, runs back and grabs the kid and goes inside. And then they, like, leave her a pile of, like, rabbits and squirrels and stuff in her yard.
Yeah.
And she's like, what the heck is happening? And then, like, later on, she is, like, trying to figure out, like, was that Jen and the other moms? And, you know, are they, is this their secret or whatever? And she ends up, I think, getting really frustrated with her husband and, like, runs away for a night and just totally, like, dogs out. Yeah. And, like, her husband comes home to a full-blown dog in their house.
Yeah. No, oh my and God. Then, whenever that happened, because this is, like, the beginning of part two. It's, like, the first thing you read in part two is just a toddler with a giant dog in their living room. And I was like, oh my God, she fully transformed into a dog.
Right.
But then you find out that's not her. But it was, like, kind of shocking. Like, I was like, I don't know if this is where we're going with this.
You know? And that's when that's where it kind of lost me. Because I thought it was her, right? And then, so after that happens, she says she, like, loses all the hair. And her canines, like, aren't sharp anymore. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, more normal looking and, like, more herself. But then she will, like, run, like, go out at night and just, like, be running around.
See, I think the author tried to explain this and kind of failed at it because there is a little part in this book, I think it's after part two, where, like, and I had to read it, like, three times through. Like, I constantly was trying to understand it, but I just couldn't grasp what she was doing. Mm-hmm. But she kind of explains that, like, her bloodline, like, Nightbitch's bloodline has these, like, animalistic instincts or something. Mm-hmm. Where, like, cats would, like, follow Nightbitch to the bus stop. Mm-hmm. And, like, her mom, like, the toddler's grandma, would go out at night and pretend to be a cat. And so, like, and whenever Nightbitch was, like, really young, like, a child, the grandmother was like, you don't want this or something. And she, like, I don't know, cast it a spell?
Or she did something. So I remember that part. So the kid, so Nightbitch, like, kittens, like, little baby kittens would follow her around, and she thought that they would, like, get lost and not be able to find their mom and, like, die, and her parents wouldn't let her, like, keep the kittens or anything, and so she went to her grandma and asked for her to make them, like, stop following her. Yeah. So she cast this spell.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of, like, maybe what was happening.
Mm-hmm. Was, like, yeah, so there was that, but then, I don't know, the dog just, like, showed up. And then also, before there's, like, the on-stage show, right?
Yeah.
The Nightbitch invites all of the herb moms and then also her working mom friends over, and they just, like, set them up in the backyard, and there's, like, a little, like, platform. And they just get them super drunk. Mm-hmm. And then a dog just comes up and, like, eats a steak.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of the moms are, like, acting drunk and crazy and, like, wild animals. And so I was like, what? So, like, I don't know. I'm not. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, does she actually turn into a dog or does she just act like a dog? Like, Jen never actually turned into a dog, from what we understand.
I think it definitely is a family thing. I think that could play into the transformation of being a stay-at-home mom and being bored with your life. Mm-hmm. Like, how all those moms kind of bought into an MLM. Maybe they bought into acting like a dog.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think the, like, actual transformation stuff is, like, within the family, which may explain why the toddler acted like that, too. Maybe mm-hmm. he had that in his blood. But as for the other moms, I think they were just, like, copying what they saw. They first copied Jen, and then they were copying Nightbitch. Maybe.
So, yeah. So, yeah. So, like, I don't know if there was, like, a thing of, like, humans will act wild if you give them the chance.
Yeah.
And then also, like, they just want anything for themselves. And I don't know.
I don't know.
I will say, I thought that this was kind of funny. So, when Nightbitch, like, goes to this herb party, like, everyone's getting super drunk and, like, whatever. And she thinks that, or no. Does Jen invite her over separately? Yeah, she does. She, like, texts her and she's like, I want to talk to you about something. And so they, like, meet up and Nightbitch is like, this is it. She's going to tell me she's a dog. And they're, like, talking and Jen is doing that thing where she's like, it's so shameful. Like, I don't tell anybody. Like, I'm you know, I'm dealing with this by myself. And Night Bitch is like, yeah. And she's like, I'm in all this debt because I spent all this money on herbs and I can't, like, the market's too saturated. No one will buy them for me. And I don't know what to do. And Night Bitch is like, oh.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of hilarious. And so that's when Night Bitch is like, hey, be my PR person and you'll make lots of money and we'll fix this together.
Yeah. And I liked how whenever they agreed to put on that art show together, like, the husband was just, like, actually, like, super supportive of it. Even though the entire book, he was just kind of like, you're not a dog.
You know? Oh, my God. He was awful for most of the book.
Yeah.
And it was like she kept on doing this thing where she's like, he's a good man. He's a great man. I just can't stand him at all because he's the worst. And, like, he, like, tells her that it's stressful for him to come home to a dirty house. And, like, he just needs time to, like, decompress. So, like, he comes home from being gone all week and immediately is, like, on his computer or, like, you know, doing whatever. And he doesn't help with the kid. And she at one point, like, goes to him and she's like, when you're home, you're doing night nights, and, like, walks away. So he has to put the toddler to bed. And he's like, okay. I genuinely thought he was gonna be, like, cheating on her.
You know, yeah, I did too, because he's, like, never home.
Right. And, like, when he is home, he's on his computer.
Yeah.
Like, suspicious. Well,
and his wife is, like, slowly convinced that she's a dog.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, like, he may be like, okay, time to, like, abort, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, he seemed like a total jerk in the beginning, but then she, like, I don't know, part of her, like, animal instincts is that she wants to have, like, wild animal sex. So he's really down with that, of course. Yeah. And so he's like, maybe my wife's not so bad.
Yes.
And then she says that, like, she used to call him all the time because she was just so bored and she just wanted to talk to an adult. And he would, like, brush her off and be like, I'm working or I'm busy, and be, like, a jerk about it. So then she, like, stops calling him and she's, like, busy during her days. And so then he starts calling her to, like, check in and, like, be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, playing hard to get in the marriage for some reason. And so then at the end, like, their relationship is, I guess, somewhat repaired.
Yeah, for some reason, like, again, there's, like, barely any dialogue in this book, but, like, their final conversation, which I would say is probably, like, five sentences interchanged, he's just like, you know, this is your piece, this is your art, you know? And, like, I don't feel like he ever really understood Night Bitch.
He didn't understand her.
Yeah.
So I feel like we have to talk about the cat. I don't want to talk about the cat.
Oh, the cat.
The cat.
I kind of blocked that part out. I forgot that happened, but it's, like, a big part of the book.
Yeah, so basically, they have, the only pet that they have is this cat. And, like, Night Bitch used to love her a ton. You know, she's just this gorgeous, fluffy, black cat who's stupid and fat and yells at her constantly for food. And, like, it was, like, her and her husband's baby before they had a baby. But now that she's a mother, everything irritates her constantly, including the cat. She's, you know, the cat's always underfoot. The cat's always yelling about food. Apparently, her and her husband joke about killing the cat and throwing it over the fence and that kind of thing, which, like, sounds horrible, but, like, I can relate.
Yeah.
Like, been there. Of course, we're not serious. Yeah. But,
like, then it's, as, you know, she, like, starts to develop these, like, dog traits, obviously she starts to hate the cat.
Right.
Like, tremendously.
She starts, like, putting it outside all the time, and she's, like, super annoyed by the cat. And eventually, she, on, like, a day where she's just, like, really on one, the cat's in the way, and she, like, steps on it or kicks it or something, and then she kills the cat.
Yeah. She, like, drops something on it, doesn't she? Like,
she says that she does.
Oh, she said she dropped, like, a knife on it, right?
Yeah, because she literally picks it up and, yeah, like, and stabs it.
Yeah. And then she starts drinking from it, right?
Yeah. She, like, yeah, eats it. Yeah. And then as she's, like, realizing what she's done, her kid walks over, yeah, and is, like, staring at it. And so then they, like, bury her in the backyard, and she's like, well, my kid saw me, so I have to come up with something in, yeah, case he tattles on me. So she tells her husband that she dropped the knife on it.
Yeah. Which is just, like, so unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. That was so sad. I was like, oh, poor kid.
It was really sad. It was, I think that was the end of part two. So it was, like, mm-hmm, pretty, like, I was like, I can't put this down now. I want to know how this ends.
It was very graphic, too. That was the part that got me. It was graphic. And, like, the cat did not die instantly. I was waiting for it to get, like,
super violent, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I was like, at some point, like, something crazy has to happen. And it involved a cat, unfortunately.
Yeah. I know. Okay, so I will say, I think that I would way rather have read a book about stay-at-home moms who have a secret werewolf club. Just putting that out there. I think that would have been fun.
Wait, isn't, God, what is it? By Grady Hendrix. Something about a mom book club and they're like vampires, right?
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard of that. Let me might have to look into it.
It's like the Southern, like, Southern book club guide for vampire. I don't know. Hold on. Goodreads? I literally cannot think of the title right now. Okay, there it is. The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the moms that are a vampire, or that are vampires, or if there's just, mm-hmm, like, vampires in their town. Okay. It sounds like from the title, they're not the vampires, which is unfortunate.
Unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't think there's much else to talk about with this book. I do really love the cover of it.
Yeah, the cover is nice looking.
Yeah. Very red.
Very red. Yeah.
So, have you read anything else since Night Bitch?
Or... I read Feral Creatures, which I think I mentioned last time. It's the sequel to Hollow Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
I liked it. I did not love it as much as I loved Hollow Kingdom. Like, I loved Hollow Kingdom. Like, cannot recommend enough. The sequel, like, it was definitely... Oh, my God, my dogs are barking. Sorry. The sequel definitely felt very different, you know, because it's a very different world than it's happening in. You know, the plot's completely different, that kind of thing. It just wasn't as... like, enthralling, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, the main character has kind of changed a lot and is less, a little bit less likable in the second book. It's good. I'm glad that I read it, but it didn't live up to the, like, amazingness of the first book.
Is that going to be, like, a trilogy? Or is it, like, done?
I don't know. Like, I thought that it would be done, but then it kind of left it open where, like, there could be more, but I'm not sure.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Sorry. How about you?
So, I think the last book I talked about was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, mm-hmm, right? So, I've read four other books. I'll just, like, go through them real quick. The first one was, like, Shirley by Susan Scarf Merrill.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of about this, like, couple that moves in with Shirley Jackson and her husband. It was, like, really good. Like, one of the, like, best books I've read this year.
Nice.
However, it's kind of like Night Bitch where, like, nothing happens.
Yeah.
And it's very much, I would say even, it's very much, like, about the transformation of this couple as they, like, start to become more and more like Shirley Jackson and her husband. Okay. Which isn't a good thing because the author makes them out to be very bitter people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read The Turn of the Screw by Henry James. Nice. Which, I don't know. Did you watch The Haunting of Bly Manor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, like, loosely based on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was nice. I It was nice revisiting those characters. Mm-hmm. And then I read Betty by Tiffany McDaniel, which took like a couple weeks to read because it's like so long. But it's like mm-hmm. about this half Native American, half white family that moved to like Southern Ohio. Mm-hmm. It to this like really small town in the 50s, and like they are just like tortured there basically mm. by racism and, you know, by like the entire townsfolk. It's like so sad. Sure. And then the last book I read was Enchantment, which is an Audrey Hepburn biography.
Oh,
it was very nice.
Interesting.
I wish it followed like her personal life a little bit more, but it was mostly about like her movies.
Sure.
And her time spent on those movies and her marriages. But yeah. It was nice.
Nice. You've been... you've been reading.
Let me tell you, I've started grad school, and so, like, now, just, like, before classes and in between classes, like, I'm just reading because I have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't want to do homework during that time.
Sure. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not read nearly that much.
So, our next book, are we still sticking with the one book?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, it is a book Lily has read before.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Three Dark Crowns, which I just learned is huge on TikTok right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep, of course. Yeah, so I have actually read it a couple times, I think. Really enjoyed it. You know, we'll talk about it more later, but I'm excited. I'm assuming we'll talk about this more in the episode, but there's like several books in this series and they are not nearly as good. So we're really going to pretend that Three Dark Crowns is a standalone, because
okay.
It can function that way.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I'm like, I think I'm like 40 pages into it, and I'm enjoying it so far. It's a lot of characters, though.
It like, is, yeah. I love the world building in it. It's really unique.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I couldn't tell you my favorite character yet, because I kind of read 40 pages and then started reading the new Kathleen Glasgow book, and so I'm going to finish that and then come back to Three Dark Crowns.
Sure. Yeah, this will be exciting. I think that's it. This is kind of a short one, but
yeah,
Night Bitch.
I feel like
kind
we had
a
good conversation about Night Bitch.
We did. Yeah. Oh well, I guess let me quickly say that beside Night Bitch really being for, like I said, like mothers and young women who want to be mothers, and I don't know, I feel like it's very much like for and about mothers.
Yeah.
Also, it's got that whole art like undercurrent, like performance art, edgy art thing that I don't get at all. Yeah, and like it's very, the way that it's written, like I said, it's very much like doing a thing that I just didn't get. But if it sounds at all interesting to you, check it out. I bet that some people will really, really enjoy it like you did.
I wouldn't really even know a book to compare it to. Like, I'm trying to think of a book that, like, if you enjoyed this, you'll enjoy Night Bitch. But the writing is very, like, stream of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so, like, yeah. So that's something. I felt like we were going over the same things over and over again, which you would very much do in someone's mind, you know? But she would be, like, complaining about her kid and, oh, my God, he's so frustrating and annoying and he never wants to go to sleep and he's always into stuff and I'm so sick of my husband not helping and I'm so sick of being upset at everything and I'm gonna be better and I'm gonna be more positive, and then she isn't, and then she's beating herself up over it, and then she's mad at the world again, and just like over and over.
It is it will find its readers. I have a feeling it's going to be a very split down the middle book. Like, people are either going to love it or just, like, roll their eyes at it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think that could also just be the author and her writing. Because I've read, you know who it may be like? I don't know if you've ever read something by Otessa Moshfegh. But it's kind
of... I don't think so.
It's kind of like that, where I've read two books by Otessa Moshfegh, and I've enjoyed both of them, but they're very much just like, this is about this character and the plot like comes second.
Yeah.
That's that.
That's fun. Okay, we'll talk to y'all next time. Thanks so much.
We're finally going to talk about YA again.